Good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? Again, I certainly ask for an interest in your prayers today. I would like to share some scripture with you from the ninth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning reading with verse 1. If you would like to turn and read with me today, please turn to Acts chapter 9, and we'll begin with verse 1 and read about Saul's conversion. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And I want to stop reading there with verse 18. I want to use this for a title today. When I went into the water. When I went into the water. I want to talk today about in this, and I have felt very burdened from the Lord to do this. I want to talk about the ordinance of baptism. We are getting ready here in just a little while to carry out that ordinance upon those that have united with the church through the means of baptism. And what a beautiful ordinance that it is. What a beautiful symbolism that it is. The ordinance of baptism. I want to speak for just a little while about what it means, because it means more than just going into the water and getting dunked. That is the mode of it. Immersion is the mode for scriptural baptism. but it means more than that. And it appears to me in the scriptures, if you are willing to take what the scriptures say, and in fact, I want to go back to one of these verses here, and we find that the Lord, in verse 15, the Lord speaking to Ananias, and I want you to note particularly the language that was used here, the tense of this. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. He is. When the Lord was speaking to Ananias, he was speaking in the present tense right now. Presently, as I'm speaking to you, this man named Saul is a chosen vessel unto me. And I think if you read this and you go and you read the 26th chapter of Acts, where is one of the places in the scriptures where Paul was relating his own account of salvation. Now, what we read here in the 9th chapter of Acts, this was Luke recording and accounting what had happened to Saul on the road to Damascus. But we have a couple of places in the 22nd chapter and in the 26th chapter of Acts, we have a couple places there where Paul is telling his own experience of salvation. And if you go to the 26th chapter of Acts, you will find there very plainly that the Lord had saved and called Paul into the ministry before he went into the waters of baptism. And I wanted to you to make note of this, and the reason I ask you to do this is because we can see here plainly in these verses of Scripture that we have read, we can see very plainly here that prior to Paul, or Saul at that time, prior to his baptism, the Lord telling Ananias, he is a chosen vessel unto me. He already belonged to the Lord before he went into the water. And but yet with what we see in the scriptures and in my way of understanding, and I have a hard time, and always have, I have a hard time a lot of times understanding things. But to me, it seems to be very plainly taught in the scriptures that salvation precedes the waters of baptism, that it precedes the ordinance of baptism, that a person must be saved before they go into the waters of baptism. Amen. But yet there are still many in the world today that that make the point that in order to be saved, that a person has to be baptized. And I'm going to take a stand here today again, and I'm going to say that I just don't believe that the scriptures teach us that. I don't believe that the scriptures teach us that a person must be baptized in order to be saved. But I also believe that every person that is saved by the grace of God ought to enter the waters of baptism. And that has been commanded of the Lord for us to do so. The scriptures teach us very plainly, and if you look in the 6th chapter of Romans, you'll find that baptism is referred to as a burial. Being buried, how? Being buried, turn, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 6. Because there's a very distinct point made there in Romans chapter 6. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How were we buried? And baptism being a burial, and I told you earlier that the scriptural mode or the way that you perform a baptism is to immerse that person in water. They must be buried. Not sprinkled upon, but they must be buried in order for it to be scriptural. And so when we think about a burial, we think about burying someone because that person has already died. We don't take somebody out and bury them in order to produce death. We bury somebody, we bury our friends and our loved ones from time to time because they have died. And folks, I'm going to say this, that in order for baptism to be right, in order for it to be scriptural, in order for it to be done according to the way that God intended for it to be done, before that person is buried in the waters of baptism, there must have been a death that took place. That person must have died to sin, and to die to sin and to be made alive unto God are synonymous terms. They mean the same thing. Those who have died to sin have been made alive eternally unto God. We have eternal life. Baptism, and I want those of you today that are going to be baptized, I want you to understand the beauty of this, of what's taking place today, because what we are going to be showing here in just a little while when we go into the baptistry, which I want to tell you is just a little bit cool because our pump went out, but that's okay. I was baptized in a creek in Indiana, right there about the third week of March, right there between when winter technically ended and spring started. And man, I mean to tell you, it was cold. I've told people before, I was honest about it. When I came up out of the water, I was yelling, but it wasn't a spiritual yell. I mean, it was cold. So it may be a little bit cold, I warn you of that. But when we go into the waters of baptism today, and we bury you in that liquid grave, you are going to be testifying today. I mean publicly testifying today to the world of what has already taken place in your heart. That you have died to sin. That you are, as Paul said here in Romans chapter 6, he that is dead is freed from sin. And listen, when that takes place, when you are saved, when you have died to sin, we are no longer to live our lives that way. We are to forsake those things that we had been guilty of before, and we are to signify and to symbolize when we go down in the water that there has been a death taken place. That old sinner person has died. We have died to sin, and we're being buried there in the liquid grave, and we're being brought out to testify to the world that we from this point on will walk in newness of life. Listen, today I want you to understand today that you're doing something very important and something very special today. You're not being baptized just to be baptized. You're not being baptized today just because that's something that this church does. We are being baptized first and foremost to obey the Lord. Because that was part of the commission that he gave to the church. And I'm going to tell you something today, and I'm just going to tell you just how I feel about it. I don't mean this maliciously or anyway, I don't at all, but I'm going to tell you just how I feel about it. If you know that you have been saved and you are refusing to submit to water baptism, to give your testimony, to tell of what Jesus did for you, and submit to his command of baptism, shame on you. Because it is commanded to us. Jesus said to his church, You can find it recorded in Luke 24. You can find it recorded in Matthew 28. But in Matthew 28, Jesus said to his church to go into all the world to make disciples of everyone, to baptize them. When they have become disciples, when they have believed, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then from there on to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, disciple all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach them the things of the Lord. And so, folks, listen today to Stephanie, to Kelly. You are testifying by this today that you have been changed, that you have died to sin, and that you're putting that old man away, and that you are symbolizing by this when you come up that you are going to walk in newness of life. I remember when I went into the water, what a special day that was for me. I was baptized along with two others, and I went out there and I walked into the water, and listen, We can, and I believe this, and I stated this earlier, I believe that we can take the Bible, God's Word, and I believe it's easily proven what baptism is, that it is an outward symbol of an inward change, that it symbolizes what has already taken place in our hearts, that it is an ordinance that the Lord placed in the church, that it precedes the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, that you must be baptized before you take the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. That's plainly taught to us in the Scriptures. It is an initiatory rite into the membership of the Lord's church. It sure is. We should never receive anybody that hasn't been scripturally baptized. We should never receive them into the church without baptism. It is the initiatory rite into the church. But yet, with all of these things that seem to be so apparent in the Scriptures, yet, as I said earlier, there are many in the world today that they don't believe that, and they argue that, and they said, no, baptism is essential to a person's salvation. It's a part of a person's salvation. It's something that a person has to do in order to be saved. And people argue that scripturally, and I can take the Scriptures today and I can share with you some of the things that I already have shared with you today about baptism. But the biggest thing, and I believe that the reason that we have been so staunch through the years and so solid through the years on that, is because not only what we read scriptural, but it's because what knowledge that we had when we went into the waters of baptism. Folks, I'm telling you today, when I walked out into that creek that day to be baptized by Elder Marvin Emerton, I knew what had already happened to me in my heart. I had had that experience with God. Brothers and sisters, I knew that I was saved. And you know, I'm going to tell you what, just to be honest with you, for anybody that argues and says that you can't be saved until you're baptized, just leads me to believe that they don't know what heartfelt salvation is. It's hard for me to imagine anybody that's been enlightened. It's hard for me to imagine anybody that's been saved, that's been touched by the hand of God, making that argument. I don't know, perhaps there are some that do, but that's hard to imagine. When I went into the waters of baptism, I knew what God had already done for me. And I was showing the world by that what he had done for me. Being buried with him, not to get with him, buried with him. That's what Paul said, wasn't it, in his writing there in the 6th chapter of Romans? He didn't say we were being buried in the water to get with Christ. He said we are buried with him by baptism. Folks, listen, if you're not with him, if you don't have salvation, if you haven't had that experience with the Lord before you go in, I promise you that you won't get it because you're going into the water. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We don't baptize unregenerate people. We baptize those, you know, the Lord's church today, we're doing the same thing that John the Baptist did when he stood there that day at the banks of the Jordan River, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to his baptism, and you know what he said to them? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. You give me evidence that you have repented of your sins, and that's the only way that you can take part in this baptism. Now, last Sunday, we had two young ladies stand here. We had three additions to our church, and two of them by baptism. We had two young ladies stand here, and they told everybody about what the Lord had done for them. And friends, that's scriptural. That is scriptural. That's what we have. That's the example that we have in the scriptures, that in order for a person to receive baptism, in order for a person to be baptized into the church, they must give account of the salvation of their soul. And, you know, I'll tell you what, a lot of people think that that's harsh. A lot of people think you're doing people wrong. I'll tell you what, folks, any church that will do that, any church that will require you to give an experience of salvation before they put you into the waters of baptism is doing you a great favor. A great favor. There's no deception in that. I would never begin to tell you that you can get it in the water. You got to have it before you go in. Paul had been saved. I mean, isn't that obvious? Let's look for just a moment before we... I want to show you one more example. There's many of them, but I'll show you one more example. We find it in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We'll skip down to verse 44. Peter had went down to preach to the household of Cornelius. He had seen a vision telling him to do so. And in verse 44 it says, and Peter went down and he began to preach to them. And in verse 44 it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? They had it before they were baptized, didn't they? Peter was saying we shouldn't forbid water to them because of that. Because they have received the Holy Ghost. They already had spiritual gifts. They already had the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. These things were already happening among them prior to this. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received, already received, the Holy Ghost as well as we? I want to personally thank God today for this church and for all the churches that have it right. Because there are so many people in the world today that are depending upon the fact that they went into the water. They're depending upon the fact that they went into the water and were baptized in order to get them to heaven. And folks, listen, that's just not Bible. That just won't preach. That's not what the scriptures teach us. We receive the Holy Ghost before we ever make it into the water. So I'm going to ask Brother Ronnie, there you are, or whoever is going to start some songs. I'm going to ask Kelly. There's a truth, a very sad truth, that's revealed to us in the scriptures. And this is what it is. That of all of the people in this world, and despite all that God has done in order for people to be saved, despite the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, despite the fact that God sent His Son into the world to suffer the things that He suffered and to die even the cruel death of the cross there at Calvary, and despite all of the goodness and the mercy that God has shown towards people in order for them to be able to be saved, yet the larger percentage of people are going to pass through the scene of time. They're going to live their lives and they're going to die and leave this world without God. The Bible has already taught us that. If you look in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And you know, the sad part of it is that it's even through religion that more and more people all the time are on the broad path that leads to destruction. The gate that you're going to have to pass through in order to be saved, Jesus said it's narrow. The way that leads to life is narrow. And you know, when you think of something that's broad and wide as opposed to something that's being narrow, naturally it's easier to go through the wide gate than it is the narrow gate. Listen, we hear all the time about the simplicity that's in the scriptures, and you know what? I do believe that God's plan of salvation is simple. It's simple. But it's not easy to get saved, is it? I mean, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to give in to God. It's a struggle to let go of yourself. It's a struggle to give up yourself and let go to where God takes control of the situation, because salvation is of the Lord. And it's only in God's power, only through Him can you be saved. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, I believe it is recorded, He said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, because many will seek to enter and shall not be able." Let me say here today, if you're lost, I hope that none of you are among those that won't be able to enter in. Why? Why will that happen to people? Why will they strive, or seek rather, to enter in and not be able? Well, I'll tell you what I believe about it. It's because that's all they do is seek, and they never get to the place where they strive to enter in. Listen, if you come to the Lord for salvation, and I pray that you will, you know, God's will for everybody is that they would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God made a plan of salvation for everybody. I want the church here at Fairview Memorial to know where I stand on this. I don't believe the theory that has been promoted for many years now that God designed His plan of salvation for a certain number of people. I don't believe that. I don't believe that holds water with the Scriptures. God made a plan of salvation that He said, whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely. I don't believe in a limited atonement. I don't believe for one minute that when Jesus shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, that He only poured it out for people that had been predestinated from past eternity to be saved. I believe that Jesus shed His blood on Calvary for everybody to have the opportunity to come to Him and be saved. If you're here today and you're lost, the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He suffered on the cross and died for your sins. He made a way that you can be saved. No matter what type of lifestyle that you come from, no matter what type of culture that you come from, no matter what color that people are, or no matter where they live, Jesus made a way for all people to come to Him and be saved. Peter told us, the Apostle Peter told us, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you die lost and in your sins, you're going to do so contrary to the will of God. You'll never be able to stand before Him one day in judgment and say, well, God, I guess it was your will that this happened to me. No, God is not willing that any perish. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, you know, it amazes me sometimes the things that people will take and the things that people will refuse. If you offer somebody a good bargain on something that's material, people seem to just jump all over it. I mean, I told somebody one time in the way that things are marketed, I believe if somebody designed an electric dog polisher that people would buy it just in order to have it. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what it is. You know, if somebody has something that you can touch that's tangible, I mean, they want it. I've got to have one of those. And people will go to great extremes to get them. But you know, God stands at all times with His arms spread wide open. And He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to tell you something. God has got the best thing for you today that you could ever have. And it doesn't cost anything. Jesus already paid for it. He already paid the price, lost friend. He made the way for you to come to God and know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And I want you to know this truth today, that if you shun that, if you turn that away, if you shun that gift that God has given, He's not going to take it kindly when you stand before Him and face Him one day, because it cost Him too much. It cost Him dearly. I'll tell you what I believe about salvation. If there would have been, if there would not have been anybody but me that needed it. If I would have been the only one in the whole world that needed to be saved, I still believe the Lord would have died for my sins. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. And that's how personal salvation is to me. I believe he died for me. I believe he died for you, but I believe he died for me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Friends, listen, you've got a hand. If you're lost, all of us have faced the same thing. You've got a hand in the crucifixion of the very Son of God. You've got a responsibility in the Son of God being put to death because it was because of your sins and my sins that he was nailed to the cross and that he suffered and that he died there, the cruel death that he died. And God is going to hold you ultimately responsible for that very thing. You know, I wish today that I had the words. I wish that I could tell you, but I can't. I wish that I could tell you what it really will be like for people one day when they have to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lost and without God. I can't even describe to you what that'll be like. But I want you to know this. I want you to know this truth today, lost soul. There's just a breath. I don't know how many here have witnessed people die. I've seen it several times. I don't know how many of you have stood and watched somebody when they left the world. But I'll tell you what I've been reminded of every time it happens, that there's just a single breath between us and eternity. That's all. I was standing at the side of the bed when my earthly father left this world, and he was towards the end. He was struggling to breathe, and then all of a sudden he let out that last breath and he just got still and he stopped breathing and went home to be with the Lord. And that was it. You don't realize how frail that you really are. We think we've got a handle on life. Listen, God's got the handle on life. God is controlling life. Listen to me, lost soul. Every time your heart beats, God made it happen. Every time your lungs take in air, God made it happen. Every time you draw that breath, it comes from God. Because Paul said when he preached there at Mars Hill to the men of Athens, he said, God giveth life and breath to all. It's God that controls that. God will control your days. God will control every moment that you live. God will give you every breath. And God has the eternal right to make it stop anytime that he's ready. I don't worry about dying. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't worry about dying because I know I'm saved. And I know that my life is in the hands of God. And I told him years ago, I made my resolve with him years ago, and I told the Lord, I said, when you get ready, so am I. And I laid that down at his feet and I left it there. And when God gets ready, so am I. But when I was lost, I didn't feel that way. I didn't feel that way at all. The thought of death was a horrid thing to me. In the scriptures, in the 16th chapter of Luke, we have a reality there. We have an account. Jesus gave us an account of two men that lived on the earth. One was a rich man. One was a poor beggar named Lazarus. And the rich man, the Bible says, he fared sumptuously every day. And the beggar was full of sores, and he laid there at the gate, and he just desired the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And it says the rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he saw Lazarus afar off, comforted in the bosom of Abraham. Listen, if you're lost, if God has shown to you that you are lost, if God has convicted you of your sinful condition and made you realize that you are lost and separated from Him, I want you to know something, friends. The verdict is in. Judgment has been passed. You're going to hell. And the only one that can change it is God. You know what the Bible tells me in John chapter 3 about verse 17 or 18? It says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned, which means judged. He that believeth not is condemned already. Right now, the verdict has already been handed down. You have been judged, and you're on your way to hell right now. And that ought to alarm you more than anything else in life ever will. These men died. One of them was ready, and one of them wasn't. And we studied this morning in our Sunday school lesson about Gehenna, which when the Bible talks about hellfire, that's what it's talking about. Gehenna, that place there, the valley of Tophet, the valley of Hinnom there, where they would take and burn. Even oftentimes they would throw in that valley the dead carcasses of beasts in there. And if you stood around that pit there in the valley of Hinnom, you would see the fire and the smoke raising up, and it would just be a place of putrefaction. There would have been an awful stench there in that place, and that's what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the hell of fire. And listen, friends, hell is real. It exists. It's a place that the Bible says was prepared for the devil and his angels. And what a terrible place to be headed for. A place where you will be eternally separated for all of eternity, forever and forever. You'll be separated from God's love. You'll be separated from His mercy. You'll be separated from His grace. You'll be separated from any opportunity to ever again be saved. The rich man was tormented in these flames. Bible says in I might get it wrong. Revelations 12 or 14, I believe, if I've got the chapters right. But I know what it says. It says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. The rich man said, send Lazarus, that he may just dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Think about it. Here was a man that during his lifetime had everything he wanted. Fared sumptuously every day, the Bible said. He had everything he wanted to eat. He had everything he wanted to drink. You know, water, no doubt water, or whatever he had was drinking mostly in that day, probably wine.
But whatever he drank, he had plenty of it. And suddenly we find this man there in the torments of hell. And he's saying, could you just have enough mercy on me just to send Lazarus just to wet the tip of his finger in water and come and place it on my tongue? Friends, listen, if you're thirsty, if your mouth is dried out, if you take a little bit of water on the tip of your finger, you know that that's not going to quench your thirst. But this man was just in such misery and torment, he said, could I just get a little drop of water to cool my tongue? But he didn't get it. I want you to know something. God offers you today eternal life. And you can have it. But if you come to Him, you better come striving to enter in. You better come seeking Him with everything you've got if you're going to enter in. If you come to God, because the Bible says that it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. If you come to God with half your heart, He'll know it. If you come to Him halfway trusting God, He'll know it, because He knows your heart. You come to the Lord and take advantage of the opportunity that He's giving you, but you've got to come to Him with everything. You've got to fully trust Him. You've got to want to be saved. Friends, listen, you've got to want it more than you want life here on earth itself. You've got to want it with all your heart. God won't turn you away if you come that way. I want you to know something. I want you to understand this. If you've ever come seeking and you haven't found, it's not because God doesn't want you. It's not because God will refuse you. It's because you haven't fully come to Him yet and gave it up to Him. That's what you've got to do. You've got to strive to enter in. And God can help you to do that. But your life is going to pass you by swiftly. When I was a young man, I would just flat out tell you that I think I was maybe 17 or 18 years old, and I had this in my head, and I would just tell you, I'll never live past 40. I mean, that was, for some reason, that's just what I thought. I'll never live past 40. I'll die before I ever reach the age of 40. Well, I'm 51 now. Only God knows, doesn't He? You may think you're going to live to be 70. Only God knows that. You may think you're going to live throughout the days of this revival meeting. Only God knows that. What you know, and all that you can know, is that you have the opportunity right now to seek after God for salvation. And that's all that you know. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. I was a child of the devil the first 18 years of my life. Thank God that He adopted me into His family through the new birth, and He'll do the same for you. He will do the same for you. I'd like for us to have a song. I hope if you're here today and you're lost, I hope that God will take this message, however feeble the effort has been, I hope that He'll take this message and cause you to realize just how desperate of a condition you're in. I mean, it's dangerous, friends, to be lost. It can be eternally dangerous and detrimental to be lost. Let's stand and sing.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear ye not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul,
make your preparations to meet Him.
Oh, heed the warning, for you lie.
How sad to face the judgment without God. What a horrible thing.
To meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spinning folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment and softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you. Come home, come home. Time now is fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death beds are coming, coming for you. Bottom of the page, 392. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say,
all have prayer with these that are lost, these that are seeking. Let's have prayer with them.
Thank you. 107. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make up my troubles quickly and end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world of victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb
I'm always concerned, I guess, about saying or doing anything that would be a hindrance. But I think back to the night that I got saved, and I was seeking God so earnestly that I think you could have beat a drum in my ear and I wouldn't have, it wouldn't have distracted me. I wanted to be saved that bad. So I think we're going to have a dismissal of the service here. I want to encourage these who are seeking to stay until you're finished. And I do need to announce that last week there was an announcement made that we have someone here at the church that needs some help, and that we were going to take up a special offering to help them, and we're going to do that, as we said. I'm going to ask Brother Sanford and Brother Copas and Brother Hayes if they would. These three brethren will be at the doors. If you have something that you would like to give as you go out to help in that way, then please do so. Remember the service tonight at 6 o'clock. Pray for Brother Wright. He's scheduled to preach. The preacher brethren and I met last night at Brother Wright's house, and we had prayer, and we all were in agreement there that if God takes over the services and none of us preach, that would be okay too. We just want the Lord to have His way. But Brother Wright is scheduled to preach tonight, and you remember him in your prayers. And I'm planning to be here tonight at about 5:15. If there's anybody that would like to meet here early and pray, then I'm planning to be here at about 5:15 this evening for that purpose. So we'll dismiss the service and continue it from there as God would have us to. So thank you for coming. Remember, services throughout the week, at least we're scheduled till at least through Thursday night. So remember the services at 7 o'clock throughout the week. So stand together. Brother Mike, would you please pray the benediction?
Yes, God.